Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. It's always a pleasure.
The Swine Health Information Center has released its January 2019 update. What has changed and why?
Well, in 2018, part of our response to the National Pork Board informing SHIC in 2015 was a responsibility to report yearly results. That's part of the contract, and so that's what the 2018 report has in it. As I start working on the 2019 plan of work, in 2018, we accomplished quite a bit. We tested and refined the rapid response teams and the rapid response program, and we looked at filling the gaps in research for diagnostics for a variety of different diseases. We expanded our disease reporting process in reporting domestic diseases, those are that are in the U.S. through the Veterinary Diagnostic Lab results that we have in collaboration with the veterinary diagnostic labs, and also we expanded the international disease reporting system so we could keep track of what's going on in other areas of the world. And especially, of course, in 2018, there was a lot of interest in African swine fever as it moved in Europe and as it broke in China. So all of these things are part of the pieces that were successful in 2018. The whole report can be found on swinehealth.org. So anybody that's interested can go to swinehealth.org and see all of the things that SHIC accomplished in 2018.
What is the latest in terms of disease surveillance and where?
Well, of course, there is a lot of interest in China and in African swine fever, but we continue to monitor across the world for pseudorabies, for foot and mouth disease, and for classical swine fever. For example, Japan has just reported outbreaks of classical swine fever in that country that are new this year. And so we're still looking at those things. As far as the domestic diseases go, our monitoring program for domestic diseases include PERS, include PED, include syndromes for CNS signs, central nervous system signs and syndromes. And we've seen outbreaks of all of those. The PED continues to be at a low level, although it's still here. And PERS has had an uptick. We've seen just this last winter that there's been an uptick in PERS activity. So all of those things continue, and we all continue to report those monthly.
The Swine Health Information Center has been focusing on finding cost-effective ways to mitigate potential risks from feed transmission. First of all, who is involved in that work and where, and what are the time frames?
Yeah, we're collaborating with the Pipestone Applied Research Group in Minnesota, with South Dakota State University, and also with Kansas State University to look for ways to mitigate potential feed risks from virus contamination in feed products that we import into the U.S. So the idea is to test and see if we can identify cost-effective components that could be added to the feed to decrease any potential contamination and ensure that feed is safe against those types of viruses that we may find. So that research is going on. We're just getting to the end of that now, and I expect a final report within the next few days, actually. Also, we're working with the University of Minnesota to look at the applicability of a system for blockchain or for what's called HARP-C, which is an acronym of a food safety system that is developed by the Food and Drug Administration. And that's a HACCP type of approach to feed components. So there's interest in the research that that looks at the addition of products that could be to the feed to mitigate risks. But we're also looking at ways that we might be able to, with low, very low cost, track feed components. And if we start with say feed components to begin with, and be able to track those as they go through the markets and through all of the processes and shipping, then we know we have safe feed components when they get to the mill. So there's a lot of work going on in this area right now, and we're looking forward to even more investigations in 2019.
What ingredients are being looked at, and for what disease risks?
There are a lot. I think the project that we're in now with Pipestone Applied Research, South Dakota State, and Kansas State, looked at a total of 10 different products that might be used to add to feed to mitigate potential risk from viral contamination. Of course, we are interested in any of the virus contaminations, but we're especially interested in, for example, African swine fever, foot and mouth disease, and classical swine fever, pseudorabies, those things that we don't have in the U.S. that we may be at risk of importation. So those are of high interest, and we're using Seneca Valley virus as the surrogate for all of those, because our research has shown that Seneca Valley has the propensity to be able to survive longer in feed products than any of those other foreign animal disease viruses. So if we look at Seneca Valley, then we've caught all of the others that won't survive quite as long. So that's the virus that we're testing with the feed products of high interest, and those that look like they are most effective include medium-chain fatty acids, formaldehyde products, but there are a list of others that we're also looking at. I can say that our preliminary results at least show that there most probably won't be any product that will absolutely sterilize feed components, but we're looking at products that will be able to decrease the risk of transmission of viruses in the feed.
What are the key findings so far that you've come up with?
For that project, the formaldehyde and medium chain fatty acids have the most promise, but the data still is preliminary, and we're analyzing the rest of the products and that data as well. For the University of Minnesota project with blockchain and the HARP-C type of product tracking is a very interesting one, and that's one that we're starting to apply those principles from the Food Safety Modernization Act that FDA has control of in feed and food safety. Very interesting project that is going to show how that may be able to apply to the pork industry, and actually all to the whole feed processing industry. So we're looking forward to getting those results. I expect that we'll have a final report from that project within the next month or so.
Given these preliminary results, what should producers be focusing on in terms of feed?
Well, there are resources that are available for producers. On the Swine Health Information Center website, swinehealth.org, we have posted a list of questions that a producer can bring to their feed supplier to start the conversation about feed safety. It asks questions about the sources of feed components, how the feed supplier is tracking those sources, and how the feed supplier is verifying safety. It starts that conversation, and that was developed by the Swine Health Information Center, the American Association of Swine Veterinarians, the National Pork Board, National Pork Producers Council, and also in collaboration with a number of feed experts at different universities. So it's a very comprehensive list of questions that can help start that conversation, and the producer can take that directly to their feed suppliers and say, here's what we need to talk about as far as feed safety. It also includes on the website a couple of documents that describe half-life research of Seneca Valley virus, because that's the one that lasts the longest. Half-life research into how long that virus would last normally in feed components, and at what rate it would normally degrade or inactivate. And that can be used to help then calculate a holding time that would allow any feed contamination, viral contamination in that feed, to naturally degrade and inactivate. And that holding time then can also help to reduce risk. Finally, on the website, there's a description from the American Feed Industry Association about biosecure feed facilities, feed manufacturing facilities. If the feed components are manufactured and held in a biosecure way, then we know that they should be minimal, if at all, any risk once they get to the U.S. and are used. So that's where our tracking program comes into place. And all of those resources can be found on the swinehealth.org website.
The Swine Health Information Center had been calling on travelers returning to the U.S. from ASF-affected countries to report on screening procedures to get an idea of the effectiveness of border biosecurity. What actually should be happening at the border in terms of biosecurity?
The U.S. Customs and Border Protection are the custom agents that question travelers coming into the U.S. from foreign countries. Anytime that a traveler comes into the country, they always go through a customs process. And part of that customs process asks them if they have been on a farm and had contact with animals in whatever country they're coming from. If that happens, and that is from a country that, and they're coming from a country that is has foreign animal diseases, is of high interest, then those travelers should be diverted to secondary screening by an ag specialist. And our interest is to help Customs and Border Protection improve that process, harden that process, and make sure that that is happening in a consistent manner for all travelers coming from countries that have ASF or other foreign animal diseases. Customs and Border Protection has told us that they would like to make sure that their process is as robust as possible. So what we're asking of international travelers is, if you go through the customs process at a port of entry and you indicate that you've been on a farm, had contact with animals in the country that you're coming from, but you're not diverted to secondary screening, then we're asking them to send me an email and describe their situation. We need to know the port of entry. We need to know the airline, the flight number, the time of entry, the country they're coming from, those types of details, so we can report that back to Customs and Border Protection to give them some report about the robustness and the effectiveness of their screening process. It's a collaborative effort with CBP, and it's also a collaborative effort with the other pork organizations, the American Association of Swine Veterinarians, National Pork Board, and National Pork Producers Council.
Based on reports from travelers, what are we seeing, and what does that suggest for border biosecurity?
Well, the data so far is very scant. I will say that we've just got a few reports so far. We've just started this, and we're just starting to gather the information. But there is some variance between ports of entry, where in one port of entry in one airport, there may be screening for all of the passengers that come in and indicate they've been on the farms. In other ports and other airports, it might not be quite as robust. So there's going to be some variation between ports. We know that. And we're just starting to get that information, and we're going to compile it so we can provide it to CBP and help with protecting the U.S. and North America from the introduction of a foreign animal disease.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think, Bruce, that it's important to take a look at the 2018 plan of work and the 2018 results to that plan of work, and that's on the swinehealth.org website. What I'd really like for people to do is look at those results, look at what we've tried to accomplish in 2018, and provide feedback. Send me an email or give me a telephone call and provide feedback on that plan of work, because the strength of the Swine Health Information Center is in the collaboration with the whole industry, producers and veterinarians. And I'm especially interested in their responses and their ideas for going forward. What we've accomplished, fine, but also what we need to do in the future. So I'd really like that input and welcome anytime anybody has any ideas about the center or the direction it should be taking. I'd sure like to get that information from people.
Thank you very much.
Thanks always. It's good to talk to you, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.